Thank you for that, guys. If you, we are going through our discipleship book. Pastor Barrera is here in the back there from San Diego, Chula Vista, right? Yes, sir. Good to have you with us this evening, your wife and your son there. Good. Thank you for being with us. Appreciate that. We are going through our discipleship book, our new one that we wrote during this last year. And so just so we understand the concepts, it's our steps of growth that we try to encourage new people to go through, new converts, and then it's the one that we teach one-on-one, but we're going through it as a church. We are in chapter number 4, the chapter on relationship, growing closer. By way of very brief review, we looked last week about the fact that God desires to have a close relationship with each and every one of us. And by the way, that's a remarkable thing right there, that God would actually want to have a relationship with me, and that God would want to have a relationship with you. You know how you are. I know how I am. I was going to say, I know how I are. I know how I am. And that God would want to have a relationship with us is tremendous. And the way we accomplish that is through a daily time with him. You can call it devotions. You can call it walk with God. Whatever you call it is not the issue. The important thing is that we do it. That's very, very vital. For this purpose, we call this step in our steps of growth relationship. And there's two aspects of a relationship we need to understand when it comes to our devotions, our walk with God, our daily time with him. The first one, of course, is spending time in the Bible. That is letting God talk with you. And the second one is spending time in prayer. That is you talking to God. Now, we started in the section in chapter 4 about the wondrous Bible, and we looked at that, and now we're in the section on spending daily time in the Bible. What are some of the benefits? Why should we do it? We looked at two points last week. We looked at the fact that our spiritual growth depends on our time in the Bible, and also that our relationship with the Bible is the key to our success in life. Now, let's move on to the new one. Next point. The Bible, and this is very important, we'll spend a little bit of time on here. The Bible teaches me what is right and what is wrong. Bible teaches that. The Bible teaches us exactly what we should do and exactly what we should not do. Now, let me say this. This is an area, first of all, that's vital in the society in which we live. I mean, we can't even figure out the difference between a boy and a girl. We can't figure out what genders of people ought to marry each other. We're messed up. I always find it funny. I'll exercise sometimes. I'll go walk through my neighborhood or ride a bike through our neighborhood, and these signs are real popular off in your neighborhood where it's like, you know, everybody, God loves, love is love, all this stuff. You've seen those, you know, feminism, all the liberal checklist. And one of them says, this house, we believe in science. Now, I guarantee you, if I went up and knocked on their door and said, it's a very liberal sign, say, explain that to me. Can a guy say, become a girl simply by saying he's a girl? And I guarantee you, they'd say, yes. Where's science in that? Okay, so right and wrong is all over the map. It is. It's just all over the map. But that's not the problem. It's a problem. Okay, it's a problem. It irritates me. But that's not the big problem. Here's the big problem. Modern Christianity is struggling with this concept. We struggle with it. We struggle with wanting to just get up and teach the Bible, and if God said something is good and right, to go for it, and if God said something is wrong and not right, to stay away from it. We struggle with that. We think we'll reach the world by watering down those type of things. And by the way, God does command us to teach, to reach the world, but God commands us to understand what is right and wrong and stick to the truth. And anytime we're willing to deviate from the truth, even if it's under the guise of trying to reach more people, it's wrong. And it's not helpful. We're reaching people, but we're not helping them. We're getting to the point that if you preach or teach anything that the Bible says is wrong, you're labeled, and this is, I'm not talking about the world. The world labels us. There are so many phobes, it's not even funny. But they'll label us legalist or negative. Negative. Now, by the way, I'm not looking to be called negative. I'm not looking to be called any of these names, but I'll gladly take that label, because if we're teaching the things from the Bible's perspective, they're not really labeling us, they're labeling God. Because it's his truth, it's not mine. By the way, the Ten Commandments are God's list of thou shalt and thou shalt not. I guess God's a legalist. What the modern church has done is label that which God says is wrong or as something or as something we can do under the guise of under grace. That's I don't even understand that. A guy years ago and came in and we were having a prayer meeting, and this guy came in and he had alcohol in his breath and he was trying to talk to me, and I'm like, just, you know, I said, time out. You've been drinking? He goes, yeah, I'm under grace. I'm like, no, bro, you're under the influence. Okay, like, if you don't have enough spirituality not to drink, don't sit here and try to talk to me about the Bible while we're supposed to be praying. Okay, under grace, if we're under grace, and I'm not going to belabor the point, we've looked at it over and over. You have a greater sense of what's wrong, right and wrong. Because if you've become a Christian, your sense of what is right and what is wrong will change. It will change for the good. It'll change for the right. It'll go in the right direction. Now, I'll look in your if you have the book, look in there. I sometimes miss the blanks, and I'm sorry about that. But here's one. God is the one who determines what is right and wrong, and he has shared that with us in his word. See, that's when people, see, our society has always done this. They try to throw stuff in your face to shut you up. And now Christianity's doing that. You're negative, you're this, you're that. Well, look, if the Bible says it, then we just need to go with it. It's in his word. 2 Timothy 3:16, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Two of those four you could categorize as negative. By the way, it's not negative. If you're trying to share with somebody what the Bible says that they should not be doing, that's because if they're doing it, it's hurtful to them. Okay? Thou shalt not. Those are things that are hurtful. Thou shalt. Those are things that are helpful. And so it's very important we understand that. God determines what's right and wrong. One of the main principles of this world is that truth is relevant, right? What's right, what's wrong is determined by each individual for themselves. Look, just because I get up and say something's true and it's true for me doesn't mean it's true, period. The problem with our world is they don't want to have any set guidelines or principles that are right or wrong, and that's just what it is. It's right or wrong. Well, God can give us that list. If I give you a list of what I think is right and wrong based on my own philosophies or principles, I'm going to get it wrong. But God will not get it wrong. It's very important. It's the lie of Satan, honestly, that you decide what is right and wrong. You find it interesting, you learn something in the Bible, and you look at what's going on in society, and the two will always match up. What is the first thing Satan told Eve? Listen, did God really say that? And he gets her all confused, and he says, if you eat of the fruit of the tree, you will be like a God. You will decide what is right and wrong. Well, he was really telling her. You'll be the decision maker in your life. You'll be the one that decides what you want to do. And if it's true for you, if it's right for you, then it's the truth. Let me just tell you something. You can believe whatever you want, but that doesn't make it true. God and his word makes it true. There has to be a definitive right and wrong. And what makes something right and wrong if God says it? Now, we look at our society, we look at where we're going, and it's getting pretty dangerous. I'm not trying to discourage you. We know what's going on in this world. And by the way, it shouldn't shock you. Unsaved people act like unsaved people. It's just they're getting more blatant about it. And by the way, it's almost like you're opening up the book of Revelation and watching it played out for us in our society. And it's okay. God's in control. I'm not saying stick your head in the sand, but I'm saying it is what it is. It's going to play out. But the church is now changing the definition of right and wrong. Now, if you don't follow more liberal brands of Christianity, which you shouldn't, by the way, but you probably don't, you see it, but I see it. I get these little emails from all these different places. You know, you sign up for one place and they sell your information. I get all these information things coming at me. There's a guy, it's a problem in our society when the church backs away from what's right and wrong. That's what hurts our society. I think I mentioned it on Sunday. If there's really as many Christians in our country as people who claim to be Christians, why in the world are we in such a mess? Because we don't want to stick with what's right and wrong. We want to be hip, cool, and relevant. Okay? Well, God didn't call us to be that. Now, he didn't also call us to be the opposite. We preached on that on Sunday night. But he did call us to be truthful. He did call us to stick with his word. There's a guy, and some of you may know him, and his name is Max Lucado. He's a very popular Christian writer. He's written probably hundreds of books. And in the evangelical realm, he's very well known. Recently, he preached at a church, not our type of church for sure, in Washington, I believe Washington, D.C. Well, you know how they do. They did a check on him, and they found out 15 years ago, he preached a message in defense of traditional marriage. Well, the gay, lesbian, transgenders hammered him. And the church that he had preached at hammered him. So instead of just saying, I'm sorry about that, that's what the Bible teaches, he backtracked. He apologized. Here's what he said. In what he said in defense of traditional marriage. He said, God's holy word must never be used as a weapon to hurt others. And that because he preached the church of God, the truth of God's word, he harmed the LGBTQ, ABCDEFG, whatever the others are throwing in there. He said he harmed them. All he did, now I'm going somewhere with this, and we're getting a little off track, but we'll live. What he said is because he preached the truth about traditional marriage, it harmed the people that don't believe in traditional marriage. Because he preached the truth, he was using the Bible as a weapon to those that don't believe the truth. Do you understand how dangerous that is? That's not using the, he didn't jump out of the pews and find a homosexual and beat them. All he did was share what God said is true about marriage. And he harmed people. Can I just tell you something? If you hear the truth of God's word and it harms you, that's not harm. That's called conviction. That's called God trying to get a hold of us to get us back to his word and back to these things which are true. Why would we apologize for that? I'm not trying to hurt anybody. You hurt people more by not giving them the truth. To apologize and make them think that that's a legitimate lifestyle that's healthy is hurtful. To bypass any sin. Let's step away from that one, okay? Adultery. Oh, people like it when we talk about all this other stuff. What about adulterers? By the way, the Bible says that's wrong. Being immoral before you're married is wrong. And by the way, singles, probably good reason you shouldn't be touching each other. Well, you know, my boyfriend, he says that, you know, he's okay with just holding hands. He's a liar or he's part of the illustration I just gave a few minutes ago. Adultery is wrong. It's just wrong. Now, if we say that, does that mean I am using the Bible as a weapon against those who are living in adultery? No, I'm saying, don't do it anymore. Get right. I don't want anybody to be under the condemnation of God because they're disobeying God. Because there is a right and wrong, but people are just trying to shut us up. He's mimicking this man, what he's just mimicking what the world believes. Why do we do that? Everywhere that's what the world's doing. Let's bring that into the church. This is what the world's believing now. And if we say anything different to that, then what we're doing, we're going to offend them and we're going to hurt our opportunity to reach them. I'm not saying be mean-spirited to people. But I'm saying tell the truth. The truth isn't harmful. It's actually helpful. We're not hurting people. We would expect that from unsaved because that's just how they roll. Many other. I could give you all kinds of different examples of people that have done that. But anyhow, let's get back to the discipleship lesson. The Bible teaches us what's right and wrong. And so we need to get on board with what God is saying. If we want to know an opinion on something, society is going to just throw a bunch of different things at us. It's going to change. It's going to keep coming. So what do? We go to the Bible and like, what does the Bible say about that? And whatever the Bible says, that's what we go with. Well, they don't like when we say these things, and should we just be quiet about it? No. Okay, let's move on. Next one. Because that was a little too negative. The Bible gives me, the next main point, the Bible gives me the power to live the life that God wants me to. The Bible does. So, if I hear something from the Bible, we'll go back to the other point, that needs correction in my life, by the very fact that God tells me that that's the way I should live, these are the things I should do, by the very fact that God says that means that I can do it. God would never tell me to do something that was impossible for me to do. Now, as parents, I'm sure every parent could testify at some time they asked their child, hey, can you go do this, and maybe it's a little chore, and the kid goes, I can't do it. And maybe we asked them to do something that was outside of their skill set, which was outside of their level or their mental capacity. God's not like that. God knows exactly what we can do. And the fact that God tells us to do something means we can do it. And part of the power that he gives us is his word. Look at the little chapter there. God uses his word to transform or change our lives completely. That's God's goal for us. And he has provided his word as a means to achieve that goal. Thank God for that, by the way. God didn't just want us to get saved and our eternal destiny was changed. God wanted us to be different after we were saved while we're living on this earth. Why? Because to continue to live in the way in which we were living, in our sin, just doing our own little thing, that's not good for us. And so God desires for us to change, and the one of the tools that he uses to help us to change is the Word of God. And again, all of these are under the concept of this is why we need to get into the Word of God. Look at Psalm chapter 119 there, verse 9 and 11. It says, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? In other words, how can a young man stay clean, a holy life, a right type of life? Here it is. By taking heed thereto according to thy word. You know that if you're doing something the Bible says, it'll never lead you down a path towards sin. In fact, it'll lead you away from it. It'll never lead you towards a sinful life. It'll help you to live a sanctified life. Verse 11, thy word have I hid in mine heart that I might not sin against thee. So the Bible gives us the means, the instructions. Of course, the Spirit of God empowers us as we try to follow the Word of God to live that life and have your life changed. As you learn the Word of God, as you learn the truths of God, you can be transformed when you become that which you're reading in the Bible. You start to live it. You cleanse your way. And if we're struggling with that, I guarantee, look, if you're struggling with a sin or some sin or just certain things in your life, I guarantee you, now this is, you're not bulletproof if you're in the Bible, but I guarantee you if you have major struggles, you're not in God's Word. You're not. I guarantee it. Now, it doesn't mean if you're in God's Word, everything's going to melt away. No, you still got to put your effort in, and you got to do your part, but the Spirit of God will help you to live it. You're not doing it on your own. Very important. That's why this little statement I heard as a brand new Christian, the Bible will keep you from sin, or sin will keep you from the Bible. See? It's kind of hard, you know, you're reading the Word of God and you're learning things in the Word of God and you're trying to do those things. It's kind of hard to go into sin. But if you're not in the Word of God, you're going to struggle. Next. We need the Bible every day to survive spiritually. We need the Bible every day to survive spiritually. Just like we need food to survive physically each day, we need the Word of God to survive spiritually each day. It is the only way we can defeat our spiritual enemies. That's it. You would not be healthy if you didn't eat each day, right? What's the word, hangry? When you're upset because you're hungry? I understand that, by the way, right? It's like, man, it is time to eat, okay? Patience level is really low. I wonder if we got spiritually hangry. We got to have it. No, we do. We usually go just get angry without the spiritual part. But what if we reacted the same way spiritually we did physically if we didn't get enough of the Bible? Look at Matthew chapter 4. This is Jesus' answer to Satan as Satan was trying to tempt him. Verse 4, but he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Now, it's a comparison there. He's not telling you not to eat. But the comparison is valid. We need the Word of God. You're not going to make it spiritually if, you know, we talk about growing. Someone that doesn't eat is not growing. Now, some eat too much, you're really growing, and that's fine. But we have to eat. We need the spiritual nutrition. You know, there's always these, I mentioned, I think last week, there's these diet books out, Christian diet books, the Daniel diet. I don't know if that's, they throw you in a lion cage and he eats half of you and, you know, boom, you don't weigh what you used to. I don't know. They have all these, we should have the spiritual fasting diet. You don't eat if you don't spend time in God's Word. There would be a lot of razor-thin Christians. But we don't see it as that important. That's the issue. That's just the issue. We don't see it as important. By the way, we don't even think, we understand it. We don't even think in terms of, you know, I got to eat because I need nutrition. We don't think of it because it's just a habit. We eat, right? It's just part of who we are. I don't get up and think, you know, if I don't eat dinner today, I could lose nutrition, I could get sick. I don't think of it. I just think it's dinner time. It's what we do. It'd be nice if we thought of the Word of God as that. We just get up and like, man, Bible time. I've got to have the Bible today. And by the way, it's a spiritual discipline that you develop. But we have to have it. It's so important. Next, we need God's word. We need God's word to daily lead us. Daily lead us. See, God wants us to follow His will for our life. God's will is defined very simply as God wants to do in my life. That's it. We over spiritualize it sometimes. Not that. It's not important. It's vital. But if you want to give it a destiny, I want to know God's will. That's just, what does God want for you? Now, there are things that are very simply the same for everybody. Everything in the Bible is God's will. You know, it cracks me up when people come, yeah, I've been praying about this, and I'm going to do it. And I'm like, the Bible's already said, you don't need to pray about that. The Bible already spoke about that. Yeah, I just feel that if God's already spoke on it, it doesn't matter what you feel. God said it, let's do it. But we all need guidance in life. Why is that important? Look at this little statement. We are faced with decisions each and every day. It is only as we are in God's word do we find spiritual guidance to help us make those decisions that He would want us to. Where you end up in life, What God does with you in your life is to a great extent dependent on the decisions that you make all the time. Now, how do we make those right decisions? We need God to lead us in those decisions. Now, I understand there are some decisions that, you know, God doesn't necessarily need to lead you, right? Like, what's for dinner? Okay, just, you know, whatever. But God needs to lead us. Now, here's the thing. If I want to be in God's will 10 years from now, how do I get there? How do I know 10 years from now I'll be exactly where God wants me to be, doing exactly what God wants me to do? How do I figure that out? Get in the habit of letting God lead you each and every day and making the decisions in your life in accordance with what God's word would tell us. Look at the verse there. Psalm 119, 105. We all know it. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. You see two elements of it there. The lamp unto my feet are those next steps, right? You know, it's just like, what's here? The light unto my path is farther down the road. God's word is like that. If I allow God's word to today, tomorrow, the next day, each and every day, to direct my way and living for him, I will get to where I need to be down the road. It's a step at a time. Why are we so concerned? 5 years, and I'm not saying you don't plan. I'm not saying you don't try to figure out. Sometimes God lets people know, or they just, it's there early, but okay. But each and every day, I'm following you today, Lord. I'm spending time in your word. I'm going to try to live for you. I'm going to make the right decisions. I'm going to let the word of God be my guiding light and force in this world. 5 years from now, if you do that, you're going to be right where God wants you to be. Let's not over-spiritualize it. Let's not over-spiritualize is a strong term. Let's not overthink it. Direction in life is important, but direction should be coming from God's word. Let me give the last one and we'll finish for tonight. We need to apply the Bible truths to our life. The Bible truths to our life. Apply it. Our goal should not just be to gain knowledge, but to understand truth. It is only then that we may take that truth we have learned and apply it to our life. 2 Timothy 3:15, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Jesus, Christ Jesus. He learned it as a scripture, and it led him in his life, and it did lead him to the point of salvation. But it does it past salvation. See, wisdom is not smart, being smart. Wisdom is the ability to take the truths of Scripture, apply them, and make them a part of my everyday life. That's wisdom. By the way, aren't you glad that's wisdom? That means everybody can be wise. You don't have to be the sharpest knife in the drawer. I joke around with some kids, you're as sharp as a marble. Okay, marbles aren't sharp. But it's like, look, you don't have to. If you understand God's word and you can make it a part of your life and follow it, you're wise. And you'll be farther down the road and better off in life than those that maybe are far smarter than you. See, we think everything is about, and I'm not against learning, okay? Don't get me wrong. But our society bows at the altar of education. It does. And you go to, and you, in these secular schools, they're not even teaching them. They're not educating them. They're indoctrinating them. They can't even critically think. They're fed some company line, some political nonsense. And just because they can get A's on their tests, just because they can absorb the knowledge, they're going somewhere in life. No, they're not. You want to go somewhere in life? Have whiz. I'm not saying be stupid. I'm not saying get F on your quizzes, okay? I'm saying know God and know his word. That'll get you way farther down the road than following some nonsensical line of nonsense put forth by a teacher or any other educator. We have to take the Bible. See, I know the 66 books of the Bible forward. I know the 66 books of the Bible backward. And you should, not backward, but forward. You know, I know who Abraham married, and I know who built the ark, and I know who did the, and I know all the facts. And by the way, the facts are important. But the facts are only important because they help us understand the story so we can pull the truth from the story and find out what God's trying to teach me, and I can make it a part of my life. That's the end game. It's not just so you can win a Bible trivia contest. It's important. Don't get me wrong. We need to know these things because it all starts to fit together as we know the facts and we know it all together. And then we can digest the story. We can digest what God is saying and we can pull out of it something that we can make a part of our life. That's wisdom. But if all we do is just know the facts and we never take the Bible and we never take its truths and we don't apply it to our life, like James says, we're hearers of the word and not doers, it does us no good. Instead of knowing that Abraham married Sarah, we might want to look at his life and see that he was a friend of God. Might want to apply some of the truth of his life to our life. That's what God wants. Now, so the point is, are you spending time in God's word? Now, next week, we'll look at the second part of the equation, which is prayer. But it's vitally important that we know the word of God and we spend time in the word of God. Let's pray together this evening. Our Father, we thank you for loving us, and we do thank you for your word. We thank you that you want us to be in your word on a regular daily basis, that you want the word of God to become an active part of our life. And I pray, Father, that you would help us to be able to make the commitments that we need to see the importance of the word of God in our lives. Bless us now. Give us a great Resurrection Sunday, Lord. I pray that many folks would be here. I pray that people would receive Christ. Bless us as we go our way. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.